Hey, you probably have heard of Jack Welch, right? Let's do it this way. How many of you have never heard of Jack Welch? Raise your hand. Yeah, Franklin. Yeah, we know who Jack Welch is. Really, just an amazing CEO. Was the CEO of GE for 20 years from 1981 to 2001. And under his leadership, General Electric's value rose 4,000%. And that's a pretty incredible feat, isn't it, gentlemen? Jack Welch is recognized as a tremendous leader. And he was asked one time what the number one responsibility of a leader is. And he said, CMO. CMO. Not CEO, not CFO, not COO, not CIO. He said CMO. And he said, your number one responsibility as a leader is that of chief meaning officer. Chief meaning officer. Your job as a leader is to help your organization understand what it means to be a part of that organization. Understanding the culture, your fit, how you fit in that organization to make that organization one that can achieve its goals. And he said there are three pieces to that also. Number one, he said, you have to help your people understand where you're going. You have to help your people understand why you are going there. And you have to help your people understand what's in it for them. And so as chief meaning officer, your job is to help your people understand where you're going. And Jack Welch said you have to tell them where you're going before they will do the things that need to be done to help you get your organization where it needs to be. They have to hear before they do. They have to hear before they do. This morning we are starting a new series, and the title of this series is called Hearer, Doer. Hearer, Doer, from the book of James. James, you know, is a fantastic story. And before we get into this book of James, I want to lay down some history for you so you can understand what is happening as James begins to write this story and this epistle which he writes. You probably may know that the book of James precedes the Gospels. It's the earliest and the first epistle that was sent out. And so this is the story, men, that leads up to James writing this letter. You know, at this point in history, Jesus has been crucified, is resurrected, and he's ascended back to his Father's throne in heaven. But before he left, he made a promise to his followers. He made a promise that he would send a comforter, that he would send the Holy Spirit to them so that they would not be alone. And in fact, that promise was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. 50 days after his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, Pentecost happened. And on Pentecost, you remember that that is when the Holy Spirit came. And if you remember the story, it's a fantastic story. The Holy Spirit came, moved among the people in this violent rushing winds. You remember the tongues of fire settled on the people? And when the tongues of fire settled on these people, the men in the room were able to understand what was being said in their own tongues, in their own languages, because these were men from all over the world. They spoke different languages, but they're assembled together, and they're hearing the preaching of the word, and they're able to understand it, even though there were different languages. And so it was an amazing thing, and we know it as the beginning of the church. So these men are hearing. They're hearing the gospel. They're hearing what they describe to be the great deeds of God. And so under the preaching of Peter at that point in time, 3,000 men at Pentecost come to salvation. And then shortly after that, Peter preaches again. But let me show you in the book of Acts what was happening at that point. Acts chapter 2, verse 46 says this. 2, verse 46. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple, with breaking of bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. So this little church is growing. These little followers of Jesus Christ, the followers of the way, it's growing and things are going well. The church was finding favor in the eyes of the people. And so shortly after that event, Peter preaches his second sermon. And during his second sermon, 5,000 men came to salvation. And so at this time, these scholars and commentators say that there were probably somewhere between 15 and 20,000 followers of Jesus Christ who were there in Jerusalem. And so the church is growing and things are going well and people are having a great time fellowshipping together and eating together and hanging out together and paying attention to the teaching of the apostles. You know, I just think about what it must have been at that point in time and how these people must have been bonded together. What an exciting time it had to have been. I don't know if you've ever been part of an organization where, you know, things were just going so well and you just felt like you were part of this and it was fantastic and you never wanted to see this thing end. I imagine that's probably what these people were feeling. So Peter preaches his second sermon, and now we've got a big enclave of these followers of Jesus Christ. Not called Christians yet. They weren't even called Christians yet. That came later. They're just followers of Jesus Christ. Things go well for a little while, and then all of a sudden, they're not going so well. The leaders, the religious leaders of the day, started to begin to notice what was happening, and they became jealous, didn't they? They didn't like what was happening because their people were being pulled away from them to this new way. And so they became very jealous. And you'll remember they commanded them to stop preaching in Jesus' name. And so they went to Peter and they went to John and they said, stop. Stop teaching this way or we're going to do something, you know, that you're not going to like. And what did John and Peter say? We cannot. We cannot. We cannot stop telling people about Jesus Christ and his word. And so they didn't stop. They kept on preaching and teaching. And the result of that was persecution. The leaders in that day started to persecute this young church. They started to push back on it. And it finally reached a flashpoint when a young disciple by the name of Stephen was preaching. And people didn't like what he was saying. And they falsely accused him of blasphemy against Moses' teaching and against God. And you remember what happened to Stephen. They had a mock trial and they stoned him and became the first martyr in the church. And that was a point in history that changed everything for this young church in Jerusalem, these Jewish believers. And we see the account of that in Acts chapter 8 and verse 1. Let me read it to you real quickly. Acts chapter 8 and verse 1. Then this is what happened. Saul was in hearty agreement with putting him to death. And on that day, a great persecution began against the church in Jerusalem, and they were scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except for the apostles. So this persecution that came upon the church spread the church. They scattered. They scattered out into other lands. And so there were people who had gone out on the day of Pentecost, and they were in other countries also. And now we have this exodus from Jerusalem, these people who were persecuted, getting away from this persecution. And so what happened? These people took the gospel with them, didn't they? They took the gospel with them, and they started to spread the gospel. And so it is to these people that James is writing this letter. He writes this letter to them because he knows some things about them. And so that leads us to James chapter 1 and verse 1. And that's where we're going to start in this new series called Hearer Doer. So if you don't mind, guys, turn in your Bible to James chapter 1. And today we're just going to lay a little bit of groundwork, and then we'll actually start in the teaching verse by verse from James next week. Here's what James says. James 1, 1. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad. Greetings. So here we have James. So by this time in church history, James has become the leader of the church, right? He's the one that the apostles went to when there was confusion about teaching and doctrine. He's the one who finally stood up and said, this is the way it's going to be. So James is the leader of the church. And so everyone is looking to him for guidance. They're looking to him for direction. So it's no wonder that he's the one that writes a letter to these people who have been dispersed, these 12 tribes. So the letter is going primarily to Jewish believers. There were probably some Gentile believers at that point in time, but primarily to Jewish believers, these 12 tribes. And this is what he says to them. Verse 2, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. See, James knew some things about these people already. And one of the things he knew was they were people of faith. He knew that they believed. He knew that they believed their salvation came through faith alone, not from any kind of works, nothing that they had done on their own. He knew that they were people of faith. And so he was sure of that. So in this letter to him, he's not writing about doctrine. He's not writing about the gospel. He's not writing about theology. He knows that they already understand these things. He's writing to them about something different. He's writing to them about what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. He wants them to understand who they are in Christ. He says to these people, you have faith. I believe that you have faith. I get that. But here you are dispersed in these other foreign lands. You're away from your country. He knew that they were going to be concerned. He knew that they were probably going to be scared. He knew that they were going to be confused about some things. And he wanted to give them a sense of peace, but he also wanted them to understand who they were, what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. So he writes this letter to them. And so we're going to go to our foundational verse that we're going to go back to over and over again through this series called Hearer Doer. And it's found in James chapter 3, verse 13. James chapter 3 and verse 13. And here's what it says, guys. He starts with a question, and then he answers the question. Here's the question. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. See, James is saying to these people, I believe that you have faith. But having faith is one thing. Showing that you have faith, showing that you believe, putting your faith in action is another thing. It's important for you to show the world what you believe and who you are, and they see that through your deeds. They watch you. They are watching you. They were watching the people on that day, and they're watching us in our day. When those people said, we have faith, we're followers of Jesus Christ, James says to them, you need to show it. You need to put action to your words. And so here we are in our day. And James is saying the same thing to us, man. If you say you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you say you have faith, then there's something that must fall out of that faith. There must be some action. You need to show the world by your deeds that you have faith. And those deeds are based on wisdom. And so James is saying to these people, as their chief meaning officer at this point in time? Yes, he's an apostle. He's a leader of the church. But he's trying to help these people understand what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. So as we run through this gospel this epistle of James, we're going to say that maybe he was the chief meaning officer in those days, and he can be a chief meaning officer to us also. He can help us understand what it means to be a faith-filled follower of Jesus Christ who takes action, who does what he says he's going to do. So James is writing to these scattered people, and he wants them to understand what it means. And so we are going to examine, men, the characteristics of a faith-filled believer. What does that look like? What does it mean for us in our day to be a follower of Jesus Christ? James the Apostle, our CMO, is going to explain that to us. So starting next week, we're going to run through these verse by verse. We've got about 20 of them, and I think that you're going to be really excited to see them because they will challenge you. They will challenge you to ask yourself this question and answer it. Am I a faith-filled man who takes action? Am I a hearer and a doer, or am I just a hearer and not a doer? It's a big question, isn't it, men? We'll answer that question for each of us over the next coming weeks. Amen? Amen. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for the writing of James. We thank you for the way he challenged us, Father, to be a hearer and a doer, not just a hearer. And so, Father, in the coming weeks, we pray that you'll challenge us and that you will grow us to be the kind of men that you want us to be, leaders, leaders in the marketplace, leaders in our families, leaders in our marriages. And so, Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to do that. We pray this in your Son's name, Jesus our Christ. Amen. 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 Have a great morning, guys. Thank you.